This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Still celebrating that Matthew Golden pick. Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, of course, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, we got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis coming up next from 9 to 11. We've got the voice of the Texas Longhorns coming on today, Craig Way. He's going to be breaking down, obviously, the two Texas picks that Green Bay took in this draft, including Matthew Golden. So that's going to be a great conversation coming up. So make sure you're checking out Mason Crosby Show every day, but especially today, 9 to 11, right here on the Fan. Right now, we are being joined by Paul Farrington. You can find him on the Paul Farrington Show, appropriately named Twitter handle at Farrington Show. Paul, your first time on the show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it a ton. How are you doing, my friend?
Awesome. I appreciate you bringing me on. It's a great experience.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic. And one of the main reasons, well, there's a lot of reasons I wanted to have you on, because A, you're fantastic at what you do. But number two is because you had the opportunity to obviously attend the draft. Now, for those who don't know, Paul, and I'm going to get this out, is a Vikings fan, but he has built a really interesting sort of empire on the Paul Farrington Show of both Packers and Vikings fans living together, cats and dogs living together. It's anarchy, it's chaos, but somehow it's happening. You've built this really unique space and obviously had the opportunity to attend the draft in Green Bay as a Vikings fan. And I know you were extremely complimentary of the entire situation that went on with Green Bay. So I'll give you the floor and let you talk about your experience in Green Bay attending the draft.
I really can't overstate, Andy, how blown away I was by the whole experience, particularly being a Viking fan at Lambeau Field. And we got to go on the field with my friends and my co-host Jack and Ziggy. Every single Packer fan was just so nice to us that we were kind of blown away. And everyone said, no, this is the normal up here. And I'm from Northeast Jersey. Not to say people are mean from Northeast Jersey, but it's just a different culture. And I had so much fun just as a football fan being around the Lambeau area. But you're right. It's a really weird dynamic that my show's kind of developed over the past few years where, you know, Packers fans really like us and we really like Packers fans. And then on Sundays, it's like, okay, got to hit pause for a second, cheer for the Vikings. But I've definitely softened up a bit in terms of when I was a kid, man, I could not stand the Packers. And I still can't at times. But I've definitely softened up a little bit just because you guys' fan base is so nice.
Well, we appreciate that. So, you know, and it is, like you said, a very interesting dynamic, but it's been really kind of cool to watch from afar and just kind of see how this has come together. And Paul, I'll be totally transparent with you. Like, I would have people in my chat being like, you have to have Paul Farrington on. You have to have Paul Farrington on. I'm like, well, oh, he's nice. A Vikings fan. Like, what are you talking about? Like, why are we? But obviously got to know you better and check out your stuff a little bit more and obviously go on your show. And no, it's a really cool, really cool dynamic that you guys have built over there. But as we kind of look back at this draft and just you attending, you know, what was your most sort of memorable experience? What are you going to remember from the entire situation? Like, walk me through kind of what it was like being there, not just as a Vikings fan, but like you said, as a fan of the NFL.
Walking onto Lambeau Field was probably the coolest moment of the whole weekend. On Wednesday, they took the media on essentially a tour of the draft setup. And the end of that entailed going into the green room and then walking back to the stadium and onto the field. And again, I've never been to Green Bay before, so to be able to go on the field first time there and just kind of soak it in a little bit. Again, even though I'm a Vikings fan, I had to admit it was pretty cool. My co-host, Ziggy's going, oh, you could just smell the victory here. I said, okay, calm down, Ziggy. We'll get there. We'll get there. But going on to Lambeau was great. And then it was our first draft that we've covered, so covering that from the media room. And seeing, I mean, what, there were 200,000 feet. How many people were there on night one? Just a ridiculous
205.
Amount.
Yeah, 205,
yeah,
I think 205. It was.
205. So just seeing, you know, that sea of people for a draft, right? Not a game, a draft. It was it was amazing.
As far as the actual draft itself goes, we're going to be joined by Paul Farrington of the Paul Farrington Show here. As far as the draft itself go, what were your sort of main takeaways, surprises, you know, anything that the draft entailed itself that really kind of either blew you away or is just kind of noteworthy as you kind of look back at it?
Well, it was funny during the first round, other than the whole Shedeur Sanders situation, I didn't think there was anything too crazy that was happening. Where, you know, it was a lot of really good prospects sort of falling where a lot of people expected them to go. Obviously, you guys taking Matthew Golden was a highlight of the night with Mark Murphy coming out and the crowd going crazy. But I thought the Giants really were a big story of night one in particular, where there were rumors. I got to speak with Joel Klatt and Daniel Jeremiah briefly on Wednesday, and they were talking about Jackson Dart, you know, skyrocketing up draft boards. And at three, that felt a little bit high to see the Giants go and get possibly the best player in the draft in Abdul Carter and then come back. And whether or not you like Jackson Dart, get the quarterback that the Giants like. I think that was just an awesome draft for them early on to get two high impact players on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, no, that I think that's going to be one of the drafts that we look back at and has the ability to either be a huge home run or with the Dart situation, if he doesn't work out, you know, we'll see if there's a miss there. But obviously getting Abdul Carter is such a huge takeaway from that side of things. That was going to be one of the things I mentioned or was going to ask you as well is you mentioned that you got to see Joe Klatt, Daniel Jeremiah. I know it was a sort of star-studded media event from an NFL standpoint. Were you able to meet anyone else? Run into anyone else? And like, if so, like, who did you kind of see and who did you run into?
We did get to talk to a handful of the players, and it's funny because, again, this was our first draft, so we actually shot a video called Behind the Scenes at the NFL Draft, just for anyone who's sort of like us, who we've never done this thing before, so what's it like actually being there and being able to, you know, go behind the tape, essentially, and talk to these guys. So Ziggy, my friend, talked to Ash and Genty briefly. That was really fun. But one of the guys we spoke to was Matthew Golden. We talked to four players, and one of them was Matthew Golden. And we didn't; it wasn't included in the vlog, but when we went back and we're watching the tape and editing, there was one part where, before he was a Packer, I will say, I was saying, man, Matthew Golden just sort of has this, like, this edge to him. There's a swagger that he carries with him. And I thought we had a really fun, quick interview with him, and we got to speak with him again after he was taken by Green Bay. So just being able to talk to some of those prospects and get up close to them in person was a lot of fun. And I'm telling you guys, Golden should be pretty good. I'm not happy for you, but I'm excited for you a little bit.
No, I feel that. I want to ask you about him in just a moment. We're being joined by Paul Farrington of the Paul Farrington Show. You can find him on social media at Farrington Show. And of course, we're live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the fan studios powered by the Potawatomie Sportsbook. All right, so I want to ask you about that Packers class. Now, again, I know you're obviously not exactly celebrating in any way, but let's start with that Matthew Golden pick. What did you think when Matthew Golden was selected? As a Vikings fan, were you upset by the selection? Or, like, what was going through your mind when the Packers took him?
Well, there were two things that were on my mind. The first was, thank God, because I wanted Will Johnson. And if you go back and look on our social media, you can see I wasn't following in live time all the injury updates that were coming on when his knee, when that issue was kind of being broadcasted to the world. So I'm sitting there in the draft room with my two co-hosts, and I'm freaking out because the only thing I really wanted the Vikings to do was address cornerback. So when I heard Mark Murphy come out and say, you know, for the first time in a long time, I was like, yes, all right, we got our guy, which led to a rather unfortunate reaction 5 minutes later. But the second one was in the back of my mind a little bit like, uh-oh, you know, I like Matthew Golden. This receiver class wasn't the most highly touted compared to some recent ones, but this is a guy who I think the most memorable moment for him was that Arizona State game. When they needed it, what, 4th-and-13 or whatever it was, they went to Matthew Golden. And they did that a lot this year when they needed someone to make a play with Bond on that roster, who did a lot of that the season prior. They wound up using Matthew Golden as the go-to guy. You know, didn't drop a lot of passes, which has become a custom in Green Bay, I know,
just a little.
For Packer fans. So I think you guys are getting someone who makes big plays. He's obviously very fast. He doesn't quite play at that game speed, But he's just overall a really good football player. And that's one thing I think you can't overlook in the draft. We get caught up in all these measurables and everything, but can the guy play football? And Matthew Golden clearly can.
Well, as a Viking fan, just know that, you know, a couple picks later, we drafted a receiver that, you know, does drop the ball a lot. So we got back on track a little bit after that. So as you mentioned, and again, this is the beauty of the NFL draft. You're excited. You know, Will Johnson is there. The Vikings pick, what was it? Was it one pick later? Yeah, right? Just a pick later, right after?
Yep, the next pick.
Yeah. So one pick later, it's the Vikings on the clock, and I got to see a little bit of your video with your two co-hosts of the immediate gut reaction to drafting Donovan Jackson. So walk me through what that was like.
Well, I've gotten really good, Andy. When you're a Vikings fan, you get really good at gaslighting yourself pretty quickly. So in the moment, I also, fortunately for the show, unfortunately for my mental health, I'm a very emotional in-the-moment reactor. So when the Vikings went up there, you know, in my mind, this is it, Will Johnson, it's easy. I think that was the quote I said, this is easy. And when they read Donovan Jackson, I actually kind of felt bad because as we're getting a little bit bigger, in my mind, still not many people are watching this, including, you know, potentially that could come across Donovan Jackson's feet. And I don't want him to see me sitting there going, no, what are we doing? Hands up in the air. So I quickly was able to, and I actually liked the pick. It took me a few minutes and eventually the gaslighting, you know, I was able to talk myself into the Donovan Jackson pick. But I wanted Will Johnson, seeing the injury news. Eventually you have to be a little realistic and say, all right, maybe not the best fit right here. And we've been complaining in Minnesota about our offensive line for, I can't even remember how long it's been that long. So it was a little hypocritical, I felt, for me to, you know, slamming my hands on the table saying, please fix the interior and we go and get, you know, a really solid prospect in Donovan Jackson for me to flip out. Yeah, that's what Vikings fans do. But I wound up eventually coming around and really liking the pick to protect JJ.
Listen, this is just NFL Draft 101. We all want the sexy pick. We all want the guy that we wanted. We all want, whether it's a wide receiver, a corner, a quarterback, or, you know, whatever the case may be, a dominant pass rusher. We all want those big-time prospects. And sometimes you get a, oh, we got to eat our vegetables sort of pick. And you Packers kind of had one in the second round with Anthony Belton in the same way of like, yeah, we want a corner. We want something else. And it's like, oh, a big offensive lineman. All right, whatever. And it's just you have those, you know, moments where you're like, and you forget, like, these are things that are massively important to your team. Donovan Jackson, obviously a tremendous football player. And he's going to be a really good interior guard, I think, for you guys. But yeah, in the moment when you have all of these dreams of a big time playmaker, either on the offense or the defense coming to your team, and you get an interior guard, it's just a natural thing where you're like, all right, let's figure how this works out. And you kind of went through that in real time.
You don't appreciate it until on Sunday during the season. They're showing the clip on Sunday Night Football, and you have Chris Collinsworth going, and look at the time, I'll count it, 1, 2, 3. And you see your big offensive lineman protecting Jordan Love. Like, it's something that you just need to wait to see the results.
Or vice versa, when you've got that guy in there that can't block anybody, and you're just like, it completely annihilates your running game, your passing game all together all at once. And, you know, Green Bay basically had the situation in the playoff game. They were healthy on the offensive line all year last year, and you get to the playoffs and all of a sudden Jordan Morgan was already out. Then Jenkins goes down, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, two guys in the line that can't block anymore. It's just like against Eagles of all teams that have like 1,000 pass rushers at any given moment. And it's just like, yeah, this is an absolute nightmare. And so, yeah, you sometimes, unfortunately, have to eat your vegetables to get to some of the sexy picks later. But no, I think Donovan Jackson was going to obviously be a very solid pick for you guys.
Yeah, I've come around.
I can understand that. So as we look at, you know, sort of this NFC draft and its kind of totality, as we kind of wrap things up here, Paul, the Vikings go and they kind of get a meat and potatoes pick in Donovan Jackson. The Lions, you know, kind of surprised some people, go with a defensive tackle in round one and had a very just Lions-y sort of draft. The Bears, I think, did a really nice job, as much as it pains, I'm sure, both of us to say. They got, you know, Luther Burden in the second round. I thought was a phenomenal pick for them. and just kind of had a really nice day overall. Then, of course, you know, going with the tight end in the first round, they're a team that kind of ate their vegetables in free agency with all the offensive linemen and defensive linemen, and now got to go out and kind of get some of those playmakers in round one and round two. And then, of course, the Packers going out and getting Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, a couple playmakers, and then helping out their offensive line as well. As you look at this NFC North, how is maybe your opinion, or just your opinion of the draft classes, but how do you kind of see these teams stacking up as we actually start transitioning to looking at what 2026 might look like, or 2025 might look like, excuse me.
We talked a lot about last year how good this division was going to be, and it mostly lived up to it. You know, everyone listening right now will be very happy with the way the season finished for the Bears. But I do think coming into this year, the teams are better. Like they are, the Vikings we'll see with JJ because, you know, quarterback's everything here. But I know we were talking about discussing who my pick would be for the NFC North next year. And you can make a realistic case for every single team because sure. each team got a little bit better. Detroit will see the coordinator impact after losing those two guys. But I think these four teams are some of the most complete rosters in football. If you go down and you just check mark, you know, what units are good, they're basically all good to go for this division. And that's really uncommon. When you think about, you know, just go back every single year and look at the division, there's always one stinker. No, it'll probably be the Bears, as we all know. The Bears still suck. That's what I learned is a constant in Green Bay, Wisconsin. But really, though, Chicago could win the division. The Vikings, if J.J. McCarthy's good, I think we can be an awesome team next year again. I'd probably lean – so this is where, you know, I don't want this on recording, but I'll say it anyway. If I had to pick, I'd probably lean Green Bay at the moment, even though I think Detroit – is a better team at the time. I like to play the schedule game. I know you shouldn't, but Detroit, if you go look at their road games this year, it is brutal. It is sure. A brutal schedule. And if Detroit goes 15-2 again or 14-3, like by all means, they've earned it. So I lean Green Bay because I think the schedule is a little more in their favor. Jordan Love will be a little bit healthier, which I think was a huge limiter last year for this team.
Agreed.
And I think it's, but again, anyone can win this. So if you told me Chicago, you think will make a run, I wouldn't call you crazy. Maybe just a little.
Maybe just a little, like you said, with the Bears. They usually find ways to Bears things up. But no, I do agree with you. I think it's one of the more intriguing, interesting divisions. And to your point from earlier, I think the two big wild cards for this this entire division and kind of how this goes for the future, you mentioned J.J. McCarthy, and I'll throw Caleb Williams in there as well. Like their progressions yep. as quarterbacks is going to be such a massive just game changer for this division. If both of them end up great, like you're talking about an unbelievable division for the foreseeable future. If they're fine, all right, you're going to have to build some teams around them, which can definitely still happen. And we're seeing kind of both teams put themselves in positions for that now. And obviously, and I know you don't want to hear this, but if they don't turn out, then you end up going back to the drawing board, which is, I'm sure, what neither of those franchises want.
You know, as well, I might even say Jordan Love to some degree.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Has that argument on his back as well, where if he steps back up to the level we saw at the end of 2023, now that's like MVP Jordan Love. But if that happens, you know, the Packers are vaulted into that category with the Lions and the Eagles as the top-tier Super Bowl contenders.
No, I'm right there with you. And on the flip side, if all of a sudden he looks like he did last year, it's like, oh, he's a fine quarterback. But then again, that totally changes the calculus for where you are moving forward. And I think the quarterbacks in this division are going to tell a huge part of the story. Paul, I can't thank you enough for taking some time to talk what your experience was at the NFL draft and obviously some NFC North. Tell everyone where we can find all of your incredible work and anything you got coming out this week.
So you can check us out on YouTube. The Paul Farrington Show is where it's at. That's where we do the majority of our work. You can also go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And then on Twitter, Instagram, at Farrington Show. We've sort of had a little, you know, a little breakout on Twitter lately. We decided to start using, you know, it's probably good to use that platform because everyone in the world uses it. So we started to use that a bit more. But again, yeah, thanks, Andy. This has been a lot of fun, and hopefully we can do more stuff throughout the offseason.
I'm sure we will. Again, you can follow him on social media at Farrington Show. Go check out the Paul Farrington Show over on YouTube. Paul, we'll talk again soon. You enjoy your week and open all these presents that the Vikings and obviously the rest of the NFL have to open up this week and enjoy the rest of your week, my friend.
Thank you. You too, Andy.
You bet. Appreciate it. That is, again, Paul Farrington. Follow him on social media, at Farrington Show. We are, of course, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. We've got a lot more show for you coming up. We'll be right back right after this.